pleased to be joined by Kyle Bruderer to talk some LA Lakers. Just kidding. Psych. Every time you come on here, we talk Lakers, but today we're shaking it up, and we're going to go back to a movie-themed podcast, and it was inspired because over the Thanksgiving break, I saw a couple movies you haven't seen yet, but I saw Wreck-It Ralph 2, Fantastic Beasts 2, and some other movie. I can't remember now. That's how memorable it was, and it was just like, man.
Have you seen The Incredibles 2 yet?
Yeah, of course. Yes, yes.
Okay. I haven't seen that one yet.
Whoa. Well, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, that's in my top five sequels of the year.
Okay. Yeah, I need to. One of these days, I'm just going to go on a binge and just watch a bunch of movies in a row.
Look, it's not your fault. It's MoviePass's fault.
It is MoviePass's fault. Let's take a moment to just trash them.
I canceled MoviePass about a month ago, and I actually just signed up for cinema. I haven't used it yet, but stay tuned. I'll be sure to give you a review on cinema. So far, I will say this. Their app is garbage. And that was a common complaint amongst people who signed up for cinema. Their app is trash. So that's the early review. Is it so bad, I've been discouraged to use it.
Okay.
But, hey, as long as they can deliver on the promise of three movies of any kind at any time, I'll figure out a way to make it work.
That's really all you need. Everything else is gravy.
Anyway, so if you couldn't tell from the opening monologue, the theme of this podcast is sequels. Specifically, we're going to list our top five favorite sequels of the year that we've seen, and we've seen most of them. And there is one sequel-ish that's coming out at the end of December that we're not going to include in this podcast. That is Mary Poppins. It's sort of a sequel, kind of not. So
it's a sequel.
Okay. It's kind of, sort of. I mean, it is, but it's a loose sequel.
I could be wrong, but doesn't she go see those same kids, but now she's going to watch their kids,
yes,
or something
exactly
along those lines.
Yes, but
okay,
yeah. I mean, it's a sequel, but it's more like a reboot than a sequel.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't feel bad leaving that out.
That's fine.
All right, so let's start. Before we get to our top five, let's start with our honorable mention. So this is a movie that you liked that didn't quite make the cut.
Okay, for me, I think I'm gonna go, man. It's hard for me to do this because there's a bunch that I've wanted to see, but I haven't had the chance. And again, that is MoviePass's fault.
yes, it is.
So I want to give a few honorable mentions because I believe that I would have enjoyed these had I seen them.
Okay.
And then I'll give you my honorable mention of the one that I have seen.
Okay.
So I have heard great things about Equalizer 2. I wanted to see that.
Ooh.
Also, I haven't seen Fantastic Beasts. The second one, I have not seen the second Incredibles. I haven't seen the second Wreck-It Ralph. So, I mean, a handful of those are probably going to be in your top five.
Well,
but
let me give you a quick 30-second elevator pitch on those movies. Equalizer 2 was solid. It had some incredible moments, but it didn't quite stand up to the first one, but it was a worthy sequel. You mentioned Fantastic Beasts 2. That's simple. If you like Harry Potter, you'll like it. If you don't like Harry Potter, you won't.
Okay.
Wreck-It Ralph 2. The story was a little bizarre. It kind of felt like a movie that didn't need to be made. And so rather than creating a story, it was, what are some really funny moments that we can create revolving video game characters and the internet? So it was charming and had some moments, but it wasn't quite as good as the first. And Incredibles 2, we'll wait until later. So,
all right, fair enough. Okay, so yeah, those are the unseen honorable mentions, I guess, for me.
Nice.
Also, Creed 2. I haven't seen that. I've heard great things, so I need to watch that one too. Anywho, my honorable mention is Jurassic Park. Fallen Kingdom, or Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Ah, yes. The very controversial Jurassic Park, which we did a full-length pod review earlier in the year. I remember.
So that one, I'm hoping that they can, I don't know. It was like, the movie was good, but then in the end, they just kind of buried their head in the sand. And I just don't know how to feel about it. Like visually, it was stunning. Like, there were a lot of really cool scenes in it that I really liked. I love Chris Pratt. You know, just, it was good. But then when it started getting into the whole, you know, whatever the raptor was called, basically everything with the, dang it, what was its name?
Blue?
The Endoraptor?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Something like that. Anyways. I don't know. Once it started getting into that, I was kind of like, all right, this is kind of ridiculous. So anyways,
there you go. So that's the honorable mention. All right. Yeah. For me, my honorable mention is, and I'm assuming this is in your top five. My honorable mention is Ant-Man and the Wasp. And that was just a good time.
Tell me what you liked and why it didn't make the cut.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not a big Marvel fan, so that's why it didn't make the cut. There are movies I liked more than Ant-Man and the Wasp. However, for a Marvel movie, I thought it was really funny. And something that I really liked about this movie that the other Marvel movies haven't delivered on as of late is the story was easy to follow. There weren't a lot of characters. It was a pretty straightforward story. They were trying to accomplish one simple task. I don't know. It was just it was like a Avengers light. And I kind of liked that it was just good, easy, fun to follow. It wasn't, you know, there was obviously that twist with the end credit scene. But for the most part, it was pretty straightforward. It was just a funny kind of, it was like a comedic Mission Impossible almost. So,
yeah,
I thought that one blew my expectations away. They were low to begin with. I didn't think the original Ant-Man wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything noteworthy. But I thought this was, dare I even say, better than the original Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So,
I agree with that.
All right. Before we get to our top five, let's take a moment and honor the worst sequel of the year. Would you like to?
I think that we
do. Do we agree?
I think we both agree on this one. I think so. Yeah.
Pacific Rim 2.
Pacific Rim 2 was really, really, really bad. Like it. I'm not a harsh movie critic. There aren't many movies that I hate. Like there are very few movies that I'm just like, oh, like it sickens me to think about it. But that's one of them. Like. It could have been so much better.
Yes, it could have and should have been so much better.
Like, there's so many different ways that you could have taken that and made it awesome. I thought the first movie was fantastic.
Me too.
It's not for
everybody. I'm looking at it right now in my DVD case.
It's a great film. And then this one's like, I don't know. Like, I get that, yeah, they were going to come back and, you know, they were going to be bigger and more evolved or whatever. Like, that was almost to be expected. But it got really weird with, what's his name, Charlie?
When he started, like, having sexual experiences. When he started having, like,
a weird sexual connection with the Beast and it was, like, manipulating him in that way. And it was just really lazy writing. Like, so I feel bad because, like, the person who thought, man, this is a great twist, a great story, and it's like, no, it's not. No. That's just, it was less than mediocre.
And you're just scratching the surface on why this thing was bad. You had terrible acting from the actor from the Star Wars trilogy.
From Star Wars. His was, yeah, that was, it was bad.
You had, yeah, it was, man, that just to me was a movie that didn't need to be made. And I don't think the original director, Guillermo del Toro, who is a pretty good director, I don't think he had much to do with that movie. And, yeah, it's not a good sign when the original people don't want anything to do with it. There's no Idris Elba. There's no Charlie Hunnam. There's no director. Yeah. I mean, shame on me. My fondest memory of that movie is that I had the courage to get up and go to bed. because I think I went to like a 10 p.m. showing, and after about 45 minutes, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I was proud of myself for leaving. And I've never even finished it. I tried to finish it on an airplane, and I couldn't even do it a second. I know how it ends.
I finished it, and it doesn't end well. So.
Oh man, that one takes the cake. I mean, I can't even think of another sequel that I disliked as much as that.
Nope.
All right, without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. So we'll each go. I'll tell my fifth, you tell your fifth, and we'll work our way down to number one. So my number five is, drum roll, which I can't do, Jurassic World, The Fallen Kingdom. And so I agree with everything that you said. You know, we don't need to break it down in depth. It had its flaws, certainly. But I also thought, for me, it had enough good moments to where I would watch it again. I don't know if I'm going to run to Target to buy it, because I haven't. It's been on DVD for a couple months. But, you know, I thought that there were some incredibly fun scenes and some even kind of emotionally stirring moments when he was looking at Baby Blue and when you saw the dinosaur kind of disappear into the smoke and ash as they were leaving the island. I don't know. I think that there were just enough good moments as bad moments for me to mildly like the movie. And for people who like Jurassic Park, I think it holds up. Like, I wouldn't say that it's the worst Jurassic Park movie ever made.
No, the worst one. Like, honestly, I like all of them. I personally enjoy all the Jurassic Park movies. The third one is the worst one.
Yes, yes.
But I still like, if I was casually watching TV and that came on, and they're like, if there wasn't anything better, I'd sit there and watch it. Like, I don't mind that one. So a lot of people hated it, but I like me some Dr. Grant.
Yeah. I didn't hate the third one either. It's just, that's, you know, when you think of the original Jurassic Park and even Jurassic World, if those two are on TV, you'll casually watch them. You won't necessarily do that with even the new one and with the third. So it's got its flaws, and how it sets up the next movie is very controversial, and it's not what I would have done, but it's not the worst movie I saw all year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, you're number five?
All right. My number five.
Oh, boy.
Mambo number five. Hang on, sorry, I gotta pull my list here. My number five is... Okay, mine was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Nice.
So I thought it was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hadn't actually seen the first Ant-Man until Ant-Man and the Wasp came out. I actually Redboxed Ant-Man, and I enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was way better than I thought it was going to be. I really like Paul Rudd, but I didn't really know what to expect with him being a superhero. But I thought he was great. I thought the first movie was good, and I figured, the second one will probably be okay, but I thought it was really good. Second one, you know, had a really good story, and, you know, I can appreciate how you're not a big Marvel fan. You're a bigger fan of standalone movies, and for Ant-Man and the Wasp, it feels like it's very separate from... I mean, it's obviously in the Marvel universe, but it doesn't really cross paths with other Marvel stuff very much.
No, it doesn't.
So it really is, you know, kind of how you said it was a funny Mission Impossible kind of thing, where it really is its own film. And kind of like how, you know, the first Captain America, like, you don't really think anything of any other Marvel film. It really is a standalone story.
And those are some of my favorite Marvel movies, because...
Yeah,
I don't know. They're not so concerned about pushing forward the Avengers overall story as other movies are. I mean, they certainly do to an extent, but it serves a different purpose. And so I would agree with you. I thought it was really well done. I liked it. I would watch it again.
Yeah, I would have bought it, had I gone Black Friday shopping for that. So,
all right, let's move on to your number four. What do you got for number four best sequel of the year?
My number four is Avengers: Infinity War.
Oh, interesting.
I like Marvel movies. They're not all tremendous, but I thought that all things considered, having like the crazy star-studded cast with all of those superheroes, I think they brought it all together nicely. I thought that they did a really good job of that. I'm not a comics guy, and so I don't really have a reason to hate it because I don't know all of the ins and outs of the original stories. But I thought that it was good. I was entertained all the way through, so I enjoyed it. I thought that, I don't know. Just again, I thought that it was a solid film. I'll definitely watch that one.
So here's a question I have for you about that movie, and I'm not even gonna premise this question with a spoiler alert. It's been out for so long. How do I want to phrase this question? What did you make of the ending, and how do you think that fits into the overall arc of the Avengers storyline?
I thought that the ending was very ballsy, despite the fact that it's probably going to be reversed somehow, because that's just the way that superhero movies are. I don't know if it's like all going to be reversed somehow. I mean, you had a hint from Doctor Strange about how, this is the only way. Like, there was literally one scenario out of how many, I don't even know what the number was, that could be successful.
Right.
And, he basically was saying, that was the only way that it could have worked. So I really believe that there are going to be some superheroes that are killed off. I wouldn't be surprised if Captain America gets killed, because I think Chris Evans has made it abundantly clear that he's done.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I think that some of the characters will be killed off. I don't know. And he wasn't even one of the ones that like disappeared, but, I bet a bunch of them will come back, if not all of them. But then there's going to be some massive battle where, yes, some of them will die. And I'm hoping that that's the case. I'm hoping that there is a sad element of it. I hope that it's not just all smiles and then they just pass on the responsibility to the next wave of heroes and retire. Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I agree. I have overall positive feelings about the movie. However, I've maintained this point of view, and hopefully you remember this, but I'm willing to increase or decrease my opinion of that movie based on what they do with the end, because that was really an impressive thing that they did. That went against the grain of most other movies. I mean, there wasn't another single Marvel movie before that where there was really any consequence to any of the heroes. And so It kind of became this, they're going to get it done. And, there's, nothing's going to happen. Like, you think about the story arc of Bucky, and it's like, they can't even let this guy remain a bad guy. Like, oh yeah, we're going to fix him up, but now he's fighting for us. Like, it's, there's no consequence. And so for them to finally have some consequence, I think was really courageous on their part. But I do fear that it's not going to stick, like you said. And so I really hope that there is some consequence. I would love to see Captain America die and a few other people as well, just so that we feel like, hey, this franchise is, anything's on the table. You think about some of the great franchises in film history. You think about Mission Impossible. You think about Marvel. You think about Star Wars. And if you think about TV as well, you think about Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad. Game of Thrones has built this reputation for no one is safe. Anything can happen. And although I haven't seen the series, enough people talk about it that I can appreciate that it's unpredictable. And I think that
it's extremely unpredictable.
And I think that's fantastic. And so I would like to have an element of that in the Marvel franchise. And we're going to find out soon.
Yeah.
What
I think, especially with Captain America, I think that, like, the best way to, obviously he's immortalized because he's a Marvel comic hero, but as far as Marvel film and as far as Chris Evans, like, the best way to immortalize him as Captain America is for him to die in, like, the most heroic way they can think of. And so that's what I'm hoping for, but let's move on to your number four. We spent a lot of time on that one.
Great idea. My number four is Maze Runner, Part 3.
Okay.
So
nice.
That movie, and I honestly could have put it higher, and I thought about it, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But that movie was really good. I thought it was a great conclusion to the franchise. I thought it was – the story was interesting. The acting was well done. There was good action. I just thought that I remember walking out of that movie and being like, wow, that was one of the better conclusions to these teenage apocalyptic movies that we've seen maybe ever. I mean, it's certainly better than the Mockingjay movies. And
it's a lot better than that. It's a lot better than the Divergent films.
They didn't even finish the story. It was so bad.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean, they succeeded tremendously, and I would recommend that series to people well before I recommend, you know, I actually like the Divergent, but I would certainly recommend this over either of those series to someone who's never seen any of them.
Absolutely.
All right. My number three, it's a movie you haven't seen. It's Incredibles 2. And
okay.
I'll be the first to admit that Incredibles is not one of my three favorite Pixar movies, the original one. It is for a lot of people. And so this series isn't necessarily a series that I live and die for. However, I thought it was really clever, and I'm going to give them credit for this. I thought it was really clever how this sequel literally picked up exactly where the next one ended. And so it was kind of this continuous story. Not a lot of new characters, you know, same funny, clever Incredibles cast. It was really well done. It was one of the better Pixar sequels that I can remember in recent time. And so in a year where there were a lot of sequels and not a lot that I loved, I thought Incredibles 2 was pretty solid.
Yeah, I need to see it. I've my coworkers have been talking about it, and they really like it. So definitely need to see that one. It is on the list.
All right, your number three.
My number three is 50 Shades Freed. No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, you got problems. We're gonna... Holy smokes.
No, I'm kidding. Okay, my number three is Deadpool 2.
Ah.
I love Deadpool, and Deadpool 2 was not as good as the first one, but I still thought that it was really good. It was very different, very funny. I'm actually excited to see the PG-13 version that's coming out around Christmas time.
Really? I didn't know there was a PG-13 version coming out.
Yeah, they're releasing a PG-13 version that's like, I mean, obviously it's the same story, but the funny, you'll have to watch the trailer. Have you ever watched The Princess Bride?
Yes, it's been a long time.
You know how the whole story is being read to this young boy by his grandpa?
Yes.
So the young boy that was being read to, basically you got Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool reading to him as a grown man.
Very interesting.
Like, in the same bedroom, same setup, and he's got him like duct taped to the bed, and he's going to like read the story to him. So it's definitely going to be different, because you can't just cut out the scenes that are R-rated and then call it good, because it just wouldn't work like that. So it's going to be different, but the same. So anyways, I thought Deadpool 2 was good. It definitely met expectations. So So that was my number three.
All right, let's get your number two.
My number two is Maze Runner, the Death
Cure. Wow. I'm not mad at all by you placing it that high.
I thought that, I mean, the first movie I thought was really good, but it also had the potential to just turn into a dumpster fire, just like, I mean, the first Hunger Games was really good. The first Divergent was good, and it's like, oh, man, this could go somewhere. It could be really cool. And then, you know, I thought the second Hunger Games was good for the most part, and then the third one was just a disaster.
Yep.
And that's not necessarily, that's just, what else did they have to go off of? You know, that's just the way the story was written. But with, yeah, Divergent, it just, I don't know, it just kind of really fizzled out. But the second Maze Runner was intense.
Yes, it was.
And I thought it was really good. And I honestly thought that the third one was as good as it was because, is it Dylan O'Brien?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yep.
He had like a severe head injury while filming.
He almost died.
They had to postpone. He almost died. They had to postpone the release date by like a year.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder what impact that had on the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, like I had this expectation. I try not to have expectations because I like to enjoy movies.
Right.
I try not to go into it thinking like, I'm going to hate this if it doesn't do this.
Right.
But I did kind of think like they have had so much time to do it right. And so that's why I was really hoping they do a good job. And I thought it was great. Like it was, they, like you said before, just the way that they wrapped it up, the entire story as a whole, I think they did an incredible job of it.
Yeah. I can't say enough good things about the final Maze Runner. It's really good. I mean, we can talk all day about how good it is, but it's worth seeing, you know? And
yeah,
something that was really good about it too is even though those movies were successful, it never quite gained the popularity as some of the other ones. And so because of that, I think they couldn't rely on increased budget CGI, you know, they made enough money.
They had to rely on good story.
That's and good acting, you know? And so,
yeah.
And because of that, that really shines through. So it had some nice twists in there as well. I'm not going to mention it, but I do remember one character kind of showing back up randomly. I wasn't anticipating.
Yeah, I did not anticipate that at all.
Solid movie. Very happy with it. All right. I'll give my number one first. And
Hold up. Well,
you're right.
Number
I haven't
two.
Given my number, number two.
Who does number two work for?
My number two is Avengers, actually.
Wow. You surprised me.
Now, again, I will, if the consequence doesn't stay.
Hey, you don't have to backtrack. We're talking about this movie alone.
I know.
Okay?
Hold on a second, though. The way I feel about this movie will greatly depend on how part two of the series goes. But since we've only seen part one, I'm only going to judge part one.
Okay.
And I've got to say, as I mentioned earlier, credit to them for doing some things that they haven't done yet. And I would add, I haven't brought this point up yet, I thought the villain was one of the most interesting villains in a long time. I really got to tip my cap to Josh Brolin because his last 2 years have been phenomenal. I loved Only the Brave, the firefighter movie. He was in Deadpool 2, and he did an admirable job. He was a good villain. And in the Avengers movie, you almost, at least for me, I almost wanted him to succeed. I almost believed in his cause. Like, and that's what I think made Thanos such an interesting villain is, he was doing some crazy things, but you can almost understand what he was doing. And in a way,
He had good intentions. He was evil. But at the same time, he wanted the best for just life, you know, like existence. He didn't want worlds to collapse and end because of overpopulation.
And if you know me at all, overpopulation is a topic I thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, I thought that was really clever because a lot of the other villains are, oh, we want to own planet Earth, and it's just the same old thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And
he didn't want to be like this all powerful king.
No,
like he didn't want to just have glory. He wanted to set the universe in balance and then retire. That's basically what he wanted to do.
Exactly. And so I thought it made him a very interesting villain, much more so than some of the other ones. And so because of that, I mean, I feel like I need to reiterate, in terms of sequels, it wasn't a great sequel year. You know, like most of these movies probably wouldn't even crack my top 10. Some of them would, but because they were willing to do things that they hadn't previously done, I'm going to give them credit, and I hope I hope it continues. So that's the long and short of my pick at number two.
Okay. I want to give my number one first.
Ooh, okay.
I think that we're going to have the same number one. If we don't, I'm going to be shocked.
I think we will.
All right. My number one is Mission Impossible. Yes.
By a mile, I may add.
That was, like, that movie was so good. And this is the only franchise that I can think of. I mean, if you can think of one, then go ahead. But this is the only franchise that has gotten better with each one, for the most part.
Absolutely.
It seems like, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen the very first one, so it's hard for me to judge it. I just don't really remember getting into it very much. The second one wasn't great. So, I mean, you could kind of flip-flop the first two, at least in my opinion. I need to go back and rewatch
the second one. Wasn't great, but it's watchable. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it is.
And I read something interesting, too, about that movie. I talked about this when I did a full review on this movie back in July. But the first one, I think, had the makings of a good movie, and the studio got in the way. And so I think there was a certain story that was being told, and in the editing bay... they said, no, this isn't what we want. And so I think the second one was a studio casualty, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes
sense.
Keep
going.
But, I mean, I thought the third one was great. And then it's like they just kept topping it. Like, it's like, yeah, okay, they're going to have an impossible mission that they're going to be able to figure out. But it's like...
it's much more than that.
I don't know. It is. Like, I honestly... I don't know how you... maybe we talked about this a while ago, but I like the Mission Impossible movies better than James Bond movies.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, I didn't feel that way a few years ago, maybe, but I feel like James Bond has gotten a little dull for me. Like, at least comparing to Mission Impossible, I feel like Mission Impossible is just... like, every movie is, like, fresh and really enjoyable, and, like, the acting is good. I think Tom Cruise is an incredible actor. He's kind of a nut job as a human being, but my goodness, he is a great actor. It wasn't hard to make that one my number one.
No. And we'll have to do this at the end of the year, our top 10 movies of the year, which will include a lot of great movies that weren't sequels, but I can't imagine anyone knocking off Mission Impossible Fallout. It was just so good.
No.
And
yeah, that would have.
What makes those movies? Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I wouldn't be surprised. I need to like go over everything, and do a thorough. This is something that we do every year. It's kind of funny, but I need to thoroughly evaluate the top 10. But like right now, I can't think of one that's better. So
what makes those movies so good is, I mean, there's a million things that make those movies so good, but The realism of the action, it makes you feel
that helicopter, man. Like, come on.
I know, it's incredible. That's the kind of stuff that you just, I don't know. It's so ridiculous, but yet it feels so believable. At no point in the Mission Impossible movies do you say to yourself, this isn't possible.
Yeah.
You know, which is, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think we can both agree here that Mission Impossible was hands down the best sequel of the year. So, but before we go, last thing, just a little preview to 2019. Are there any movies announced for 2019 in the sequel world where you're already greatly anticipating?
Give me a second, okay?
Because for me, I think this is a dark horse, but there's like a, it's not really a sequel, but kind of a sequel to Get Out that I'm very curious about because Get Out was crazy.
Yeah.
So it's not a direct sequel, but it's the same tone, same director, same genre, same type of thing. Yeah. And along with that, I would also add Glass. I'm very curious about Glass. I don't know if I'm going to love it, but it's going in an interesting place. So, and that's kind of the third of the trilogy for that little,
yeah,
can't really call it a franchise, but whatever it is, that's the third movie in it. So yeah, it should be interesting.
It's true. Okay. So real quick, I have a list of sequels coming out next year. The ones that stand out to me are Glass, obviously. I like the How to Train Your Dragon movies, so I'm looking forward to the new one. It's probably not going to be great, but I like those ones. The new Avengers movie, obviously.
Yep.
So that'll be very interesting. I love John Wick, so I'm excited for Chapter 3 of that. Godzilla, King of Monsters, which I think will be really cool. Let's see. There's a Men in Black spinoff. I don't know if that's really good.
No thanks. That does not sound cool.
Toy Story 4. Hopefully they won't mess it up. there is a sequel to... I don't know about that. It's probably going to be terrible. But 47
to what?
Down.
Oh, boy.
So it says 47 that is, that, down that... the next chapter, which will probably not be good.
Yeah, probably not.
Spider-Man Far From Home could be good, could be terrible. Oh, okay, I know. Okay. It's Chapter 2.
Holy crap. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
I can't wait. I love the first one. It was so good.
You like some sick and twisted movies.
You know, it is sick and twisted, but it had every other element of a film that you love. Like, it was funny. It was scary. It made you feel. Like, I liked it. Kingsman number 3, I liked the first two. Second one wasn't as good as the first, but I'm a fan of those films. I don't know. So Frozen number 2 could be good. I don't know. Star Wars episode 8, we'll see.
9, episode 9.
Oh, 9,
my friend.
Yeah, my bad.
Wrapping up the new trilogy, that's going to be... The big storyline with that movie is now that J.J. Abrams is back in the director's seat, are they going to undo everything episode 8 did, or is he going to just try and pick up the pieces from the...
J.J. has a great opportunity to solidify... I mean, he's already a great director, but he could go down as one of the best ever if he can resurrect what's been done.
You're right. Yeah, this is a big moment for him because The Last Jedi is universally... not liked, I think, by most people.
Yep. And then the other one, there is a Jumanji sequel coming out. I enjoyed Jumanji, so we'll see. It's not one of the ones I'm, like, dying to see, but I'll see it for sure, because I think The Rock and Kevin Hart are hilarious together.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, I think we've talked about sequels long enough, so next time we talk movies, it'll be much more interesting, because there's a lot of great movies from 2018 that we have not discussed. So looking forward to that. And you need to watch some of these too.
I do. And it's definitely on the to-do list in the very near future.
Speaking of to-do lists, I'm going to end the podcast while also kind of finishing up with a segment I do every once in a while. It's called Check This Out. So I'm going to implore you, Kyle, and everyone else to check this out. The 99-cent movies on iTunes are often new releases and very good movies. Just last week, it was A Quiet Place. I was able to watch that with my parents for the first time, just for $1.06.
How did your mom hadn't seen it yet?
No, they. My dad loved A Quiet Place. My mom didn't like it as much. She doesn't like scary movies, but
yeah.
But there's tons of great movies like that that come out often on iTunes. So
okay.
I think that is that's something I do every week. Is I check that out, and I'd say at least once a month I'm renting a movie that's new and legit from the iTunes 99 cent rental of the week. So you need to check that out as well as everyone else, because it is the real deal. So I think that's a way that you can catch up in the next couple weeks. In fact, I'm going to look at it right now. I don't remember it being an interesting movie last week. So 2 weeks ago, it was A Quiet Place. Looking right now, it's not a movie I have any interest in seeing. It's called Hereditary. It looks scary. It's a horror movie. But I think it changes every Tuesday. So definitely set a reminder or do something, because that's the best place to check some of these out.
All right. I will definitely do that.
All right. Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate the chat. Have a good one.
You are very welcome. It was fun.
All right. Take care, dude.
See ya.